the first creature that the United States sent into orbit was a chimpanzee named Man. The American NASA engineers, knowing that America wanted a manned orbital flight because the Russians had already had one, decided they would name their chimpanzee Enos, Hebrew for man. NASA engineer humor. But what happened to Enos was not funny. Enos was head and shoulders above every other chimp in the training program, but Enos did not want to be an astronaut. And he was so feisty and so willful, and the engineers thought the situation so dire, so urgent, they did something horrible to Enos. They locked him in a metal box for a week, let him thrash around in the darkness, no food, no water, thrashing around in the darkness in his own waste for 7 days. When they let him out, Enos was a different chimp. He allowed them to strap him into a machine that forced him to experience 7 G's. He allowed them to zap him with electrical shocks in order to teach him the flight sequence. He allowed them to strap him into fighter jets so he could get used to the speed and the noise of fast travel. And you think, having endured all of that, he would have had an easy trip. But no, his flight was one of those where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. His flight suit overheated. The electrical panels malfunctioned, so he got shocked whether he did the right thing or the wrong thing. The altitude control messed up, so instead of coming into the back into orbit in an easy fashion, the capsule came into Earth's atmosphere tumbling, and then, worst of all, they lost the capsule. For 90 minutes, that poor chimpanzee bounced around inside a capsule of rolling waves before they finally rescued him. But all of the lessons learned through the suffering of Enos, excuse me, allowed John Glenn to make his famed flight a few months later. Excuse me. Why do I tell you the story of Enos? Because Enos was hooked to a variety of medical instruments when he took off on his flight. It measured his heart rate, respiration, all of his vital signs. And amidst this horrific flight where everything went wrong, the scientists were astounded to find out that Enos's heart rate never changed. All of his vital signs remained exactly the same, except his blood pressure was off the charts. The doctors and scientists said, okay, anyone's blood pressure would go up what he had experienced. But one wise doctor went back and looked. His blood pressure was off the charts before he left. His blood pressure didn't reflect space. It reflected what had happened to him on Earth. He had swallowed so much rage, had internalized so much anger that his arteries were pumping out fury. This incredibly intelligent, amazingly adaptive, wonderfully capable creature had so internalized anger that with every heartbeat, his arteries were pumping out rage. And he was moving toward a massive stroke. With Enos's story in mind, hear once again the words of Luke. And when it was day, Jesus rose and departed to a lonely place. Doesn't sound like that magnificent or powerful a verse, but its power struck me the day I happened to read a Boston janitor say, "Larry Bird came to practice at the Celtic facility 2 hours before everyone else to practice shooting." Now, y'all may not follow the NBA, but Larry Bird was probably the greatest shooter in NBA history. And I couldn't help but ask myself the question, why would the greatest shooter in NBA history show up every day 2 hours before everyone else to practice doing what he's already better at than everyone else? Why? Why would Jesus of Nazareth, the most spiritually gifted person who ever lived, ever will live, the person who so revealed the nature of God so perfectly, we call him the Son of God. Why would this most incredibly spiritually gifted human being, the Son of God, withdraw from the world to a lonely place to commune with his Father when he was already the most gifted spiritual creature who ever lived? The answer is, even for the Christ, spirituality did not come easy. Being the perfect revealer of God required work and effort and discipline. Yes. Even the Son of God withdrew from the world when he felt his soul soaking up too much negativity, receiving too many negative influences, too many things going on that blocked his understanding and receiving of the will of God. The Son of God withdrew from the world, went to a lonely place, and emptied his soul of that which would poison his spirit so he could receive God's power and do God's will. When he had emptied himself, then he could go back into the world and serve. Jesus was aware of the alarm system that the Father had given him and us. I want you to be sure you understand the image. In our Charlotte church, we had a very sophisticated security system, motion detectors and keypads and all kinds of buzzers, and occasionally a burglar, but more often an absent-minded church member or staff member would wander into the church and forget to go to the keypad and tap in the code. And so they would set off the alarm. Wah, 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 wah. And no matter the time of night, the security system would call the pastor and ask whether or not to send the police. You come equipped with an alarm system. You know it. Those times when your muscles are tense and your attitude is dark and your mood is bilious. Times in your life when you know you're just not fit for human company? That those are alarms. Those are signals that something is not quite right. Do we have the wisdom to follow the example of our Lord and withdraw from the world? Empty ourselves of that which is poisonous. Understand what we need. Thank you, my friend.
Sorry, I had to come from the nurse.
Understand what we need and wring out the poisons from the sponge of our soul that we might be filled once again with the reality of God's presence. Do we grasp that God has given us the alarm system to which we have to be attuned and not ignore those impulses that are building up within us? Do we have the sense to withdraw, to follow the example of our Lord and work at our spiritual discipline so as to equip our souls for love and service? I speak on this Father's Day especially to the men, because we are the least expressive of the genders and probably the least self-aware of our internal workings. We just push on and ignore. We like to think that we can compartmentalize so that stress in one area won't affect the other. That is a lie. We are, in fact, a psychosomatic whole. If our bodies are having a hard time, our souls will be affected. Our emotions will be changed. If our emotions are in turmoil, our bodies and our souls are going to be influenced. When our souls are troubled, our whole health is endangered. We're not compartments. We're a psychosomatic whole, and what happens in one part of our being colors everything else. We guys especially think, oh, we can just ignore that. Just go on. But the consequences of that attitude are deadly. Deadly. God has given us an alarm system, and we have to understand how to disarm it and get rid of those influences that would poison our being. We all make mistakes. Excuse me. Sinus infection. We all soak up fears and failures and frustrations and resentments and envies. We are sponges. We soak these things into our soul. That's just life. The question is, how do we respond? Do we ignore it? Or do we have sense like our Lord to withdraw from the world? To enter a time of spiritual discipline where we wring out our being so that God's Spirit can fill us again. All of us are like Enos, soaking up resentment and rage, and it can pump out our arteries if we're not careful. To connect to God in solitude, in individual spiritual discipline, is important. But that's not the only remedy. We also need to connect to each other. Oftentimes, the strength of God is found through the strength of other people. Profound psychology can diagnose our troubled soul, but only profound theology can touch it. Once again, it's very easy for us to do something that is innate in our character and is incredibly dangerous. When we are depressed, when we are troubled, when we are in turmoil, When we are humiliated, our natural tendency is to withdraw. Our natural instinct is to come in within ourselves. I can deal with it. I can handle it. I can fix this on my own. That is a lie. You need to connect. The strength of God is often found through the strength of other people. Find a mentor who can help you understand your alarm system and give you guidance for a daily discipline. Maybe you need, are the type of person who needs to keep a diary. Maybe the person who needs daily exercise. Maybe the person who needs a support group. One of the ways I cope with the pressures of ministry is I leave the office early on Thursday and go to the driving range. And I smack golf balls. And as I smack my bucket of balls, there are a group of men who are always there on Thursday, and we smooze. And as we smack balls and smooze, I can feel the tension leaving, and I leave the range ready again for human company. Everyone has to find what works with their alarm system. But you cannot ignore it. You cannot ignore God's gift. Or the results can kill you. Life has its different rhythms. And there are times when we are left empty. And that's natural. But to remain empty is not natural. To open your soul up to God and allow God's power to come in and fill you again, that makes the fullness all that more meaningful because of the experience of emptiness. Some years ago, I came across a sermon by Martin Luther King Jr. and found a word I didn't know. Transphysics. Transphysics. You won't find it in the dictionary. But Dr. King said, transphysics is access to a power from beyond this world. He said, if there's a fire and you douse it with water, the fire will go out. That's physics. But when people are marching for freedom and justice, and you douse them with water, their fire does not go out. That's transphysics, a power from beyond this world, a power that connects us to the power of the living God, a power that allows us to experience the peace of God in any and all circumstance, a power beyond any engineer's measurement. Transphysics. That's what Paul is talking about when he says in Philippians, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will be yours. I do not know your particular alarm system, but I know that God has given it such a system to every one of us. And as we heed it, as we learn the discipline of withdrawing from the world and communing with a God who can cleanse us, who can create in us a clean heart, who can renew a right spirit within us, who can connect us to the strength of the divine through the strength of others. When we follow that pattern, when we heed those warnings, we have prepared ourselves to experience the abundant life. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, you have endowed us each with an internal instrument that measures the positive and negative influences that inform our inner being. May we find the ability to allow you to wring us clean, that we might receive your grace, and in receiving it, give it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.